Amen. Hallelujah. On Tuesday, we have an most of us have an expectation. And that expectation is there are going to be some boxes, packages, bowls, everything with your name on it that you get to unwrap, that you get to open. And what I was thinking about it, and the thought came about 3 weeks ago, is that we never ask ourselves if we deserve gifts or presents. We just expect that it's the season, so somebody's going to bless me. We just expect it. We don't think about the things we've done. We just think about what we want. And what I find is that people, especially children, that they're on their best behavior from Thanksgiving to Christmas, because see, they've heard that song. You know, he's making a list and checking it twice. But I was thinking about, because most of you know how I am. I like funny things. I like funny songs from my childhood, and I was listening to one because I was just having a day. Well, I've had some days this week, but I was having a day. And so I just decided to play one of the Christmas songs from my youth. And I heard a line in there that sparked something. Hurry Christmas, hurry fast, but why? Said we've been good, but we can't last. Lord, I'm doing the best I can. I don't know how much longer I'm going to be able to hold out. So send them now. And we don't say that, you know, concerning Christmas. We say that about a lot of things. So Lord, I don't know how much more of this I can take. Lord, you better do something. I mean, am I telling the truth?
Yes.
Okay. Am I telling the truth?
Yes.
Okay, this isn't the time to, you know, the front. I mean, this is what we do. And especially this time of the year, looking at the calendar saying, 3 more weeks, I don't know if I could hold out. And see, but God knew that we'd be good, but we wouldn't last. Something was going to happen, so he needed to get a gift to us so that we could last. And we need to, one of the things we're going to understand is that because of Christ, we can last. See, we know there's a standard. How many of you know God has a standard for us? We know. It's not a secret. And we say we do our best. But something comes up and we always seem to fall short. Bible says all have sinned and have fallen short of the glory of God. You know, and it's not that we decided, well, I'm only going to give 80%. It just happens for whatever reason. The problem is that when it happens, it interferes in the relationship. When it happens, it cuts off the flow from us to God. And God didn't want that to happen, because when it happens, we're no longer in fellowship with God. Things happen in our lives, and we may not understand it. And often the first person we get upset with is God. Why'd you let this happen? You know. And God didn't want us to keep going through that. So he said, I have to get some gifts, a gift to my children. And the gift had to mean something. You know, God didn't, he put a lot of thought into the gift that he was going to give. Look at Deuteronomy 29, 29. I'll find it in my notes because I wasn't ready to go there yet. But that's where we're going. Well, I'll see it when I see it. He said, the secret things belong to God. But that which is revealed belongs to us. God did not keep it a secret that he was sending us a gift. Why do you think he didn't keep it a secret? Because the gift belongs to us. So he had to reveal it. Because it's the things that are revealed that belong to us. So if God didn't reveal it to you, don't think about it. But once he reveals it, one translation says, you know, God takes care of the things that we don't know about, but the things we know about it are our business. The things that he shows us are our business. So he showed us, and we're going to look at some of the scriptures. He showed us that he was going to send us a Savior. He was going to give us a gift. Now, he already has a pattern of giving us gifts. When you think about it, he created man. He put man in the garden. The garden was a gift. When man sinned and gave away all of their authority, gave away all of the dominion, God didn't leave us in that state. He said, devil, the seed of the woman is going to kick your backside. That's this century's language. Okay. He said, I don't know if you speak 20th century Elizabethan, but I, you know, if you hear break the lordship of the ruler, what does that mean? You know, no, he was going to do some damage. That's what God said. He let it be known. Problem, women don't have seed. They have the egg. So in order for the seed of the woman to break the lordship of the ruler, there had to be a gift given. Man had done nothing to deserve it, but God decided he wasn't giving up on us. Folks, we have to stop giving up on people. We have to stop looking what people did or even are doing and assume this is how they're going to be the rest of their life. If that were so, I wouldn't be standing up here as a pastor. Amen. And I gave God good reason. But he gave us a gift. He gave gifts not because we did anything to deserve them, but just because he loved us. Amen. Just because he wanted us to do well. Yeah, and just because he's God. And guess what? The Bible tells us to be imitators of God as dear children. So we have to stop looking at whether or not someone deserves and just give because we love the way our Father loves. And not just during this season, but it needs to be our lifestyle. Because that's the characteristics of our Father. Our Father. I didn't open with it because we read it during the ministry of giving, and I knew we were going to get to it again. But in John 3:16, in the Passion Translation, it reads, "For this is how much God loved the world. He gave his one and only unique Son as a gift." So now, and I put in parentheses, because of God sending us the gift of Christ, everyone who believes in him will never perish, but have everlasting life. God didn't send his son into the world, or you could say God did not give this gift to the world to judge and condemn the world, but to be its savior and to do what? Rescue it. The gift had a purpose. God didn't give a gift to just sit down on some place and collect dust. He gave us a gift that had purpose. Mankind needed a savior. Mankind needed to be reconciled with God. Mankind needed to have his authority and dominion restored. Mankind needed to be free from Satan's influence. Mankind needed to be able to resist sin. Mankind needed to get rid and break the bondage of sin. Mankind needed to be able to accomplish all of those things, and mankind could not do it on its own. God had to send a gift so that we could become the people God created us to be. It's really just that simple. That's what a father does when he loves you. They know what you're going to become, and they're going to do everything in their power to make it happen. Everything. And our God is no different. So because God had to reveal it so that we know it belongs to us, look at Isaiah 7. These are all familiar to most of you. Isaiah 7, verse 14. These are in standard King James. It says, therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. This is what God said. He's letting it. The seed of the woman. I'm giving you a sign. A virgin shall conceive. Why a virgin, Lord? Because it has to be the seed of a woman. If she's not a virgin, it's the seed of a man. Isaiah 9. God gives even more information about his gift. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. You know what zeal is? Zeal, not veal. Okay. Zeal is very, very hot, very, very passionate emotion and energy and excitement. So God is saying, the Bible is telling us that God is going to use every ounce of what makes him God to accomplish what he said on our behalf. He's thinking, he's going to, you know, when you see these movies with computers, you know, I guess it's not so much now then because we have, you know, the technology, but when computers came out, there was a room with just banks of computers. And they'd have a problem, and they couldn't solve it, and they start pulling in all the other banks to work on this one problem. God pulls in all of his resources, which are unlimited, and if it's not there, he just create it and use it. But whatever he had to do to get this gift to us, he was doing. And he committed to doing just because he loved us. Just because he loved us. He told us in the book of Micah, he told us where the gift could be found. And then what I like is in Isaiah 53, you could turn there, Isaiah 53, I'm going to share from the Message Bible for a bit. He even told us some of the characteristics of the gift. Who believes what we've heard and seen? Who would have thought God's saving power would look like this? The servant grew up before God, a scrawny seedling, a scrubby plant in a parched field. There was nothing attractive about him, nothing to cause us to take a second look. He was looked down on and passed over, a man who suffered, who knew pain firsthand. One look at him and people turned away. We looked down on him, thought he was scum. But the fact is, it was our pains he carried. Our disfigurements, all the things wrong with us. We thought he brought it on himself, that God was punishing him for his own failures. But it was our sins that did that to him, that ripped and tore and crushed him. Our sins. He took the punishment. Listen to this, folks. He took the punishment that made us whole. How many of you have ever gotten into trouble because a friend encouraged you to do something and you got caught and your parents decided you needed to be spanked? That ever happened to anybody? Okay. How many of you have that friend that talked you into it? They come to your house and say to your parents, you know what? Here, get me because it's my fault. Okay. No, I don't know of anyone who was willing to go and take somebody else's whooping, even if they were the reason for it. Or what they would do is stand outside your window with their friend, with the rest of your friends while you're getting whooped, laughing at you. Okay. See how he's saying, no, mommy, please, I'm sorry. You know. No, but Jesus took what he didn't deserve because he wanted us to be able to be reconciled to God. That's a fact. He took the punishment that made us whole, and through his bruises, we get healed. Through his bruises. We all like sheep who've wandered off and gotten lost. We've all done our own thing, gone our own way, and God has piled all our sins, everything we've done wrong, on him. On his gift to us. Everything we did wrong. He was beaten, he was tortured, but he didn't say a word. Like a lamb taken to be slaughtered and like a sheep being sheared, he took it all in silence. It goes on to say he died without a thought for his own welfare, beaten bloody for the sins of my people. Verse 10 says, still it was what God had in mind all along, to crush him with pain. The plan was that he give himself as an offering for sin so that he see life come from it. Jesus came. He agreed to be the gift so that he could see life come from it. And that life was us. No longer doomed to spiritual death. No longer doomed to be in bondage. Through what he experienced, my righteous one, my servant, will make many righteous ones, as he himself carries the burden of their sins. He says, therefore, I will reward him extravagantly, the best of everything, the highest honors, because he looked death in the face and didn't flinch. You need to think about that. Because he embraced the company of the lowest. He took on his shoulders the sin of many. He took up the cause of all the black sheep. He took up the cause of all of those who were being rejected. All of those labeled as unworthy, unfit, unclean, damaged goods. Whatever you want to call it, he put that all on himself so that we wouldn't have to. Hebrews 4, verse 15, in the New International Version, says, we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weakness, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. See, folks, God was saying these things to us to let us know that the presence of his gift changes everything. Change. We were talking Friday at Bible study in Pennsylvania. We spend a lot of time there talking about the scripture. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away and all things have become new. And in psychology, there's something called psychic determinism. It's psychic, environmental, and genetic. And basically what that suggests is because of what's happened to you or because of your genes, you're going to be a certain way and there's no escape from it. And I told the folks, I said, well, in the natural, that may be true. But you are a new creature in Christ Jesus. And now because of that, you need to do the same thing you did when you were operating under the natural stuff. You need to find, just because you're in it, you had to find out how to fit into that environment. One person told me that how they changed the way they would walk and talk and greet people because they grew up in the projects. Well, you're a new creature in Christ. You have to learn how you're supposed to walk and how you talk and how you interact with people because you're growing up now in Christ. And that's your determinism. And one thing it said about determinisms is that there's no escape from it. None. They said to me, they said, yeah, of course you have high blood pressure. What do you mean, of course? You're black. I am? You know, they said it's genetic. And I'm like, no, it's not. I said, no, it's not. I said, it's cultural. And they said, what do you mean? I said, my parents didn't have healthy things to eat. So they ate what they could and they seasoned it to make it taste better. And they taught their children how to cook, who taught their children how to cook. They got down and taught my parents how to cook. And so, and then of course, you had to eat what they gave you. They didn't know they were giving you high fat, high cholesterol. They were given what they knew to give because that's the way it was then. And they said there's no escape from that. Yes, it is. It's called nutritional education, okay, where you learn. I told them Friday, I said, you know something, ladies? You don't have to go around with grease. You don't have to put grease in your hair anymore. Grease is just a fancy name for lard. Because that's all they had, you know, way back in the day to put in their hair. You don't have to do that anymore. You don't. I know some of you like it, but you have other parts of the pig you could eat instead of the chitlins. Sorry, Mom, or the feet. But we have different, because we learn some things, we understand that we now have some different options. You're a new creature in Christ Jesus. You may feel the same emotion about something, but now you have some different options. You don't have to give in to it. Because God sent us a gift. As I said earlier, we didn't deserve it, but God put everything he could into it because he wanted us to have it. And we read where it said the Lord himself will give you a sign. Look at Luke 1. This is in the Amplified Classic. Starting at verse 26. It says, now in the sixth month after that, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a town of Galilee named Nazareth to a girl never having been married and a virgin engaged to be married to a man whose name was Joseph, a descendant of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her, he being the angel, and said, "Hail, O favored one, endued with grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed, favored of God, are you before all other women." But when she saw him, she was greatly troubled and disturbed and confused at what he said, and kept revolving in her mind what such a greeting might mean. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found grace, free, spontaneous, absolute favor and loving kindness with God. And listen, you will become pregnant and will give birth to a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, eminent, and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his forefather David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob throughout the ages, and of his reign there shall be no end." And Mary said to the angel, obvious question, "How can this be, since I have no intimacy with any man as a husband?" None. And the angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you like a shining cloud. And so the holy, pure, sinless thing, offspring, which shall be born of you, will be called the Son of God. And listen, your relative Elizabeth in her old age." Why did that happen? "In her old age has also conceived a son, and this is now the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God, nothing is ever impossible." And that's why I like the amplified version of this. "No word from God shall be without power or impossible of fulfillment." No word. So God was saying, "I'm about to send this gift. And this is how the gift is going to come." But there was another person that God had to deal with. Because I may be spiritual, but I don't know how I would handle it if my wife came up to me and said, "Honey, I'm pregnant by the Holy Ghost." No, I'm sorry, not even if my fiance, okay, my almost my wife, okay, but Matthew explains it, okay, Matthew 1, beginning with verse 18. "So now the birth of Jesus Christ took place under these circumstances. When his mother," meaning Jesus' mother, "Mary, had been promised in marriage to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. And her promised husband, Joseph, being a just and upright man," ladies, you should have that underlined in your Bible, "not willing to expose her publicly," that should be underlined also, "to shame and disgrace her, decided to repudiate and dismiss," divorce, scratch that word out, "her quietly and secretly. But as he was thinking this over, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, descendant of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is out of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus," the Greek form of the Hebrew Joshua, which means Savior. "For he will save his people from their sins," that is, prevent them from failing and missing the true end and scope of life, which is God. "All this took place that it might fulfill which the Lord had spoken through the prophets. Behold, a virgin shall become pregnant and give birth to a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which when translated means "God with us." Verse 24, "Then Joseph, being aroused from his sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had commanded him. He took her to his side as his wife. But he had no union with her as her husband until she had borne her first son, and he called his name Jesus. Move quickly to Luke 2. Still Amplified Classic. Starting with verse 1. In those days it occurred that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that the whole Roman Empire should be registered. This was the first enrollment was made when Quirinius, or however you pronounce his name, was governor of Syria. And all the people were going to be registered, each to his own city or town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee to the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the town of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, to be enrolled with Mary, his espoused married wife, who was about to become a mother. And while they were there, the time came for her delivery. And she gave birth to her son, her firstborn, and she wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room or place for him in the inn. See, all gifts come wrapped. Jesus came wrapped. And in that vicinity, there were shepherds living out under the open sky in the field, watching in shifts over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood by them, and the glory of the Lord flashed and shone all around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said unto them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy, which will come to all the people. For to you is born this day in the town of David a Savior, who is Christ, the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign for you by which you will recognize him. You will find, after searching, a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." Then suddenly there appeared with the angel an army of the troops of heaven, a heavenly knighthood, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men, with whom he's well pleased, men of goodwill of his favor." So God announced for all to see that his gift was now present on the earth. And he told the people, "This you will find this gift after searching," which means you have to go after the gift. See, we just like to sit down and wait for people to bring gifts to us. You have to know, you have this gift that God gave, you have to go after. And you will find, well, it's seek, and you will find. You have to seek, and you will find. God said he's the rewarder of those that diligently seek him. The gift, Jesus, the Christ, whom we did not deserve, was now manifested on the earth. His presence was our present from our Father. Say that. His presence was our present from our Father. See, his presence now provided man everything that mankind needed. Mankind now had a Savior. Mankind now could regain the dominion and authority that he was originally given. Mankind can now resist sin. Mankind can be free from the bondage of sin. Mankind can now be reconciled to God. Why? Because God sent the gift. And the gift was present on the earth. And the presence of the gift affects all that come into contact with the gift. But you have to make a choice, and I have to make a choice. See, we, like I said a number of times, we didn't do anything to deserve it. And really, if God was going to look at what we did, He should let us all go to hell. But he didn't want that. He wants us to spend eternity with him. And because we've been good, but we couldn't last, he had to send Jesus. And he had to send him at the right time, which was his time. Can I tell you one more thing? I know it's Christmas, so your presence is a shorter service. But I want to tell you one more thing. You may want to shout. Is it still okay? Okay, if you jump up and run around, I can still tell you. Okay, Dan, may I have the picture of the tree, please? Okay. We get excited of the benefits of all of those presents that are under the tree. We look forward to it, and there's nothing wrong with that. There really isn't. But folks, these presents can't compare to something. Let's have the next one. His presence on the tree is what makes the difference in our lives. Not the presence underneath the tree, but it was because Jesus' presence on the tree gave us everything that we needed to live a successful life here on this earth. And all we have to do is receive the presence on the tree. And praise the Lord, he didn't stay on the tree. But he had to appear on the tree because that's where he left our sin. That's where he left our shame. That's where he left all that stuff that we picked up from the enemy back in the Garden of Eden was all left on that tree. Nobody leaves their presence under the tree. You want all of them. But what he left on that tree, we don't have to deal with ever again if we choose not to. And we need to understand that. We need to understand that. We're going to have an altar call, but I need you to stand.